ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, July 17th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
And how are we today?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Great. Then we'll have a great show today. Lots to talk about.
Well, I didn't say I was going to do a great show. I just said I'm pretty good.
Well, Al.
Well, you were asking how I am. Well, you weren't asking about how my performance might be. Performance, we don't know. But I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah. All righty. We have gold. Gold had somewhat of a good performance today. Maybe we can match it. We have gold up $590 today at $1,235. The high was $1,236. Went up this morning, stayed there all day long. Silver was up 16 cents today at $1,622. Platinum was up $7 today at $931, and palladium was up $8 at $872. The USDX today was a little stronger, up 0.2 at $95.13. Crude oil was down 52 cents at $46.02. The paper markets today, you have the Dow down 5 points at 21,632. And the NASDAQ was up to at 6,314. The S&P basically unchanged at 2459. The 10-year yield, 2.31%, down 0.1. Euro was stronger, 0.12. It's at 115. European Asia markets, not a lot of change overnight. Interesting day. It's like everything is on hold, you know, for whatever item that they're holding for, whether it be to see if this health care gets approved, whether to see if there's any further information on the tax revisions. There's being released about there. You know, there's a lot of information that's being released, a lot of topics that are being discussed, but it doesn't seem like anything's being completed. There's been discussions about America's trade deals with the administration, and you know, not much has been completed on that. They are looking and talking about it, but certainly I don't know, and I haven't, you know, read anything where there is a meeting. I believe there was one coming up shortly with Mexico and Canada. You know, they hit the same topics, Al, as, you know, bringing back manufacturing jobs. They talk about closing the U.S.-Mexico trade deficit. They talk about perhaps using, this is what I don't understand, they're actually going to talk about perhaps using parts of TPP, that trade agreement, with the NAFTA. Principles of TPP could be revived in a new NAFTA. Certain aspects of TPP, the starting point for a new deal with Canada and Mexico. That's what Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has said. TPP included provisions to enforce higher labor standards, better environmental rules, and tighter protections around intellectual property. Those could be woven into NAFTA. Well, parts of TPP would good for NAFTA. Why? So to me, that didn't make sense.
It doesn't matter whether it makes sense to you or the other members of the public, Melody.
Well, I can't see
it makes sense to major corporations. They think it makes sense, so they'd like to have it.
Well, I can't see how it could better improve the manufacturing. Plus, there was also the Amazon clause. NAFTA went into effect in 1994 before cell phones, Wi-Fi, Snapchat, and there's nothing in NAFTA about e-commerce. As technology has evolved and as shopping in all countries move online, businesses like Amazon and eBay have been left outside the NAFTA rule book. A new NAFTA could lower the trade barriers for those companies and bring them more business. For example, it could reduce the taxes that Mexican shoppers pay for buying from Amazon. Hey, why don't you reduce the regulations and allow companies, perhaps mom and pop shops, to sell around the world? Why can't it be just limited to Amazon and eBay? So And I do know that the Chinese businessman Jack Ma, he has said that quite a bit. He says open the global markets so people can sell, so mom and pop shops can sell globally, instead of just allowing companies like Amazon and eBay, and which sort of makes a little bit of sense. But it comes.
Do you think most mom and pop shops want to sell globally?
Hey, I'd love to sell my gold in England. I'd love to sell my gold in Germany. I'd love to sell my gold in various places.
Now, what about Ethiopia, Uganda, and Syria?
There's places I wouldn't want to sell for. No, I mean, you ask.
Oh, you'd be discriminating. See, they're saving you the trouble of discriminating, Melody.
You asked me a serious question. I was giving you an answer. So again, Amazon gets 1.46 from a subsidy from the government for every box that they send out. How much more do they want to give these guys?
Well, it sounds like Amazon is laying the foundation for one world commerce.
Absolutely.
You know, one of these days, you won't be able to buy anything except from Amazon. Now, it won't be right away, Melody. It probably won't be until first quarter next year, the way things are going, but I don't know. The world is a bizarre, strange and incomprehensible place at times. You were asking you're talking about why the economy and some things seem to be sitting sort of stagnant right now, waiting for something.
Summer.
Not just that.
Summer.
An article here from VentureBeat.com. It says three reasons cryptocurrency prices are in free fall. There's the headline. Whether it be Bitcoin or Ethereum, every cryptocurrency has suffered massive losses over the past several days. Prices have dropped to as low as 64%, bringing the entire cryptocurrency market capitalization down to $70 billion from $110 billion. In other words, $40 billion has disappeared over the last few days. All right. Now, this is just a profound lesson. I mean, this is one of those things you can read this and say, ha ha, ha ha, we told you so, didn't we? Ethereum's price has gone from $400 right down to $151 in about a month, leading investors to panic sell. Bitcoin, which dominates the cryptocurrency market, is down about 36% from its high. It's currently trading about a little less than $1,900 per coin. It was up over 3,000 briefly, and now it's down below 1,900, or at least it was at the point when this was written. So the article continues and has some interesting questions. It says, so what is causing the prices to dip so low? And my counter question is, I'm saying a better question is, what caused Bitcoin prices to go so high in the first place? You're looking for a reason for it to fall. I'm looking for a reason why it ever went up. Could they go any lower? And the answer to that is, of course they can. Bitcoin started out priced at a fraction of a penny. There is no reason for it to rise. There was no reason for it to rise to $3,000. And there is no reason why it couldn't fall back to fractions of a penny. All right? The next question is, could the market rebound from here? And my answer is, anything is possible, but there's no reason why it should. In other words, if you're looking for reason, look for a reason for Bitcoin to hold its current price near $1,900 rather than falling further. Why doesn't it drop back? There is no tangible reality to Bitcoin. And this is an illustration of a fundamental idea we've been promoting on this, advocating on this program for years. You need some tangible reality behind your wealth. All right? Here are a few, the article says, here's a few possible causes for the recent price tumble. One, August 1st is looming. The debate is on whether or not to increase the Bitcoin block size. That debate has been going on for a few months or for a few years now, with disagreement between the miners and nodes. Right? We're having a war between the miners and the nodes, Melody. On August 1st, we could see a split with part of Bitcoin and part of the Bitcoin network supporting a change in protocol and the other part sticking to the current protocol. The result could be a massive devaluation of Bitcoin. This particular concern is making investors nervous, and so and some are liquidating their Bitcoin into fiat dollars, which could be the cause of this freefall. Well, first off, no one invests in Bitcoin. Bitcoin is not an investment. It is purely a gamble. It has no tangible reality. The people that are in it are speculators. They are not investors, as claimed in this article. And they're liquidating their Bitcoin and turning it into fiat dollars, which is rich. They're taking Bitcoin that have no intangible value, that have no tangible value, excuse me, and converting it into fiat dollars, which have no tangible value. Which just, I don't know, the irony just kind of cracks me up. And they say this could be the cause of the free fall. I say, more importantly, come August 1st, when this contest between the blocks and the miners and the nodes, when this breaks out on August 1st, this disagreement could cause Bitcoin to fall even further. Second reason is the post-initial coin offering startups are cashing out. Many blockchain-based companies have managed to raise millions of dollars in Ethereum through ETH is what the, I believe it's Ethereum is what they're referencing to, the coinage they use in Ethereum, through initial coin offerings, ICOs, without even having a product, If this isn't the greatest scam the world has ever seen, I mean, this is just bizarre. Nearly $700 million was raised in total last month through initial coin offerings on the Ethereum platform. Right? Most of these so-called startups are not worth the money they've raised. For instance, the BAT initial coin offering raised $25 million in less than a minute. Cosmos raised $16 million. Status raised $95 million. And Bancor raised $153 million. One thing these companies are good at is marketing and writing fancy white papers. Given that so many ICOs, that's initial coin offering, given that so many ICO project developers have no incentive whatsoever to deliver on their promises, what do I say time and again? Do you want a payment or do you want a promise to pay? They've been making promises. But they say, given that many ICO project developers have no incentive whatsoever to deliver on their promises following a big fundraiser, the author of this article says, we need an ecosystem to regulate these irrational multi-million dollar seed funding rounds. And my comment is, speculators don't need to regulate their personal greed and stupidity. That's not what we need. We need government or some eco-environment to step in and do the regulation for us. We don't have to be sensible enough to avoid investing in fools in speculations, Melody. We need government or somebody to keep a lid on things where we can be the fools we always wanted to be and never take personal responsibility. We need more government to protect the speculators from themselves. Maybe the Federal Reserve should invest fiat dollars into failed ICOs to stimulate the cryptocurrency market. In any case, the article continues, the system must ask for provable business models. Are you crazy? If cryptocurrencies needed a provable business model, they would still be worth only fractions of a cent. They can't exist. There is no cryptocurrency with a provable business model. They have no product. These projects, these new projects must have use cases, users, flowing revenue, and even profits. Also, a working prototype would be nice. Again, are you people crazy? Cryptocurrencies aren't businesses. They're manias. They're like the tulip mania back in Holland in, I don't know, 1600s or whenever they had it. They're Ponzi schemes. They have never been supported by objective economic forces. Like our fiat dollars, they are inherently worthless. Their prices must eventually reflect that worthlessness by falling back towards near zero. The same is true, incidentally, for our fiat debt-based dollar, which is now worth only maybe 4 or 5% of what it was worth back 45 years ago. It's not falling suddenly to worthlessness, but it's going closer all the time. We're seeing market manip. Here's the third reason why for the fall of the cryptocurrencies. Three, we're seeing market manipulation and amateur panicking. Market manipulation, Melody. Who would have thunk it? I mean, we've got market manipulation for the stock markets and the gold markets, and virtually everything else is manipulated. And now they say they've got market manipulation for cryptocurrencies. It goes on and says, cryptocurrency market is as unregulated as it can get. Things that would result in jail time on the stock market, I don't think they'd get to jail time. They don't get jail time for manipulating the stock market. But they say things that would result in jail time on the stock market are legal in the cryptocurrency market. In such scenario, it's no surprise that the big players are manipulating the markets for their own gains. How awful, Melody. But I would say likewise, using a fiat currency like our dollar, when the Constitution mandates gold and silver coins, is unconstitutional. They're complaining that cryptocurrency is unregulated and they get to do things that are illegal. Well, we're doing things that are unconstitutional. And in theory, they could get some congressmen, senators, federal judges, and presidents tried for treason. However, so long as the constitutional law is not being enforced, we shouldn't be surprised that the fiat dollar market is also being manipulated to enrich the big players at the public's expense. And then they complain about amateur investors. All right, they want to make quick profits. Well, they're not investors, they're speculators. That's point one. They're in it to make a fast, unearned buck. They're not in this to make quick profits. How do you make profits? How do you make profits? I mean, it's not like Bitcoin generates a profit. Yes, the price is going up, I get that. But it's not like Bitcoin is selling one pair of shoes, one bicycle, one Ford, one Chrysler, one whatever. They don't sell anything. They don't make a profit. How are these amateur alleged investors, they want to make a quick profit? Bunk. They want to make a fast buck. They want to make unearned income. They wanted something for nothing. They were hustlers and con artists and largely immoral, greedy individuals. Now they're going to get nothing for something. They're going to lose their assets, and rightfully so. Article continues. It says, once the price starts falling, these investors, again, they're speculators, tend to panic sell. Of course they panicked. They invested billions of dollars into billions of fiat dollars into cryptocurrencies without any objective reason or economic foundation for doing so. They might just as well have invested in tulips without an objective reason to justify phenomenal increases in cryptocurrency prices. The only reason to invest in these currencies, in those currencies, had to be emotional. Emotion caused people to put their money into it, and emotion caused them to take it out. Greed ran wild for a while, prices soared, and then panic set in when prices fell. How else could it be? We're going to take a couple commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I want to finish up on this cryptocurrency.
Let's go ahead and give the call-in number out. 844-769-2944 is the call-in number for the program today. 844-769-2944.
Okay. Talking about cryptocurrencies have fallen over 30%, close to 40% in the last week or so. Couple of weeks from their highs, and it's something we've been warning people about. This doesn't make sense. It's going to blow up, and people look. We get seduced by reports that, oh my God, cryptocurrencies. Some people say they're going to $1 million each. All right, when they start talking about $1 million each, for us, that means it's time to sell. You buy low and you sell high. When people start talking crazy, right, that's when it's time to sell. You are at a sell high moment. Understand? And the whole thing was operating on pure emotion. There was no sound economic reason to buy Bitcoin or any of the other cryptocurrencies. The only thing they had to recommend them is they weren't fiat dollars. Right? They weren't government issued. That's something. I agree. But you have to look at this and say, okay, I'm buying something, but what do they make? What do they produce? What do they sell? The answer is nothing. The only thing that made that price go up is other people saw you buying, so they bought. And other people saw them buying, so the next group bought. And we were buying because we were buying. And then, next thing you know, we were selling because we were selling, and the price fell 30%. Right? And it's not necessarily done. The article was talking about the problem of investors, these amateur investors who are actually greedy. Right? They're not investors in the sense that they're trying to invest in a business that makes something. They were speculating. They are horse race aficionados. They're crapshooters, roulette players. They're too cheap to go to Las Vegas, so they bet on Bitcoin. Right? That's what this was. And it says the combination of market manipulation, that was by hustlers, con artists, and crooks, and panic selling, that's by the greedy speculators, gamblers, may be the reason behind the current price fall. You think, is that possible? One might argue that the market is going through a long-term growth correction. Bunk. We just had a revelation. We could make the same argument about the tulip mania in the Netherlands back in the 1600s. Maybe it's still just a long-term growth correction, or maybe it's a recognition that this stuff is worthless. It's intrinsically worthless. But there is a chance that it could be in for a deeper fall. You bet. The market could swing either way. I don't think so. The market has seen a very painful lesson and the real value of intrinsically worthless investments, alleged investments. I doubt that the cryptocurrencies in their current form, I doubt that they'll ever again see the same sort of phenomenal price increases we've seen in the last months and years. Once burned, twice shy. Millet and I were talking about this during the break, and the problem is, you want to get rich, you got to buy low and sell high. The trouble is, once it's getting to a high, nobody wants to sell. Because although people will tell you the trend is your friend, Well, it is, except when it gets close to the end of the trend. And that's when the trend becomes your enemy. You become seduced by the trend. If the trend is down, even when it's down, coming at the bottom, you still think it's going to go further down, and so you don't buy. And if the trend is going up and the price is going increasing phenomenally in the case of Bitcoin, you don't want to sell, even though you got to sell high. But we are deceived by the trend, and it creates a problem for us. On the bright side, this is from the article again. Cryptocurrency is here to stay. Yeah, it's probably here to stay, just like monopoly money. Cryptocurrency may be here to stay, all right, but their irrational, exorbitant prices are not. I'm not saying that all cryptocurrencies are going to perish, but I am saying that their prices are going to moderate compared to what we've seen. They're going to become somewhat more rational, at least as they exist. Now, maybe that they can modify cryptocurrencies. There's one or more outfits that actually associate their cryptocurrencies with gold. All right? And the cryptocurrencies are valued in terms of fractions of an ounce or fractions of a gram. That could work, in my opinion. If the people are honest and honorable and the gold's really there, that could work. Now you've got some sort of a tangible substance behind your cryptocurrency, but as it exists as a pure digital concept, I don't think they may stick around just like monopoly money, but they're never going to be worth as much. I'm very skeptical. I can't say that never, I don't know that, but I'm very doubtful that they'll ever be worth as much as they are. They have been in the past. I don't think they can sustain that kind of phenomenal growth ever again. It says while most of the current crypto coins might disappear in the years to come, a few of those startups held the potential to disrupt the entire financial system as we know it. Well, there are something like 750 different kinds of cryptocurrencies out right now. And everybody who's got a computer practically, hey, I've got a new cryptocurrency. We're going to call it the ADASC cryptocurrency, Melody. How many million coins would you like to buy? Melody, you're not answering.
None.
You know, none.
It was your face going to be on it now.
Well, there'll be...
That's right. It's not real. There isn't anything real. I guess it can't be, right?
No, I know. It's just 750 different kinds. You know that a couple hundred of those, at least, are just con artists trying to get in to make a fast buck. Some analysts are very bullish on the market and say, well, it is still in the nascent stage with very few investors. Once the cryptocurrency market goes mainstream, the market cap will grow and so will the prices of coins. Well, I am skeptical. I doubt that's going to happen. While cryptocurrency prices might still grow, I don't think we'll ever again see the incredible growth rates we've seen in the last few months. In the end, cryptocurrencies have nothing tangible to offer. So long as that's true, they're just a Ponzi scheme, just like the fiat dollar. And the great lesson out of all of this, I mean, I am somewhat relieved to see a significant drop in the price of cryptocurrency, because it tells me, my God, reason still holds some power in this world. The world is not just a madhouse where you can do anything if it's sufficiently crazy. Reason has intruded and said, this is stupid. Don't do it. I am encouraged. It tells me that there really isn't all that much difference between cryptocurrencies and fiat currencies. And although they have market capitalization, and they're more volatile, and there are differences, but they're not fundamental in my opinion. And it tells me that our arguments that the fiat dollar is going to hit the fan, the fiat dollar will hit the fan in the near future, maybe the arguments are not too fantastic to be believed. Cryptocurrency can go down. It hasn't disappeared. It hasn't died, but it's not done. And I would say that it has scared enough people where they are unlikely to invest the house and the barn and the whole ranch in order to buy themselves some more cryptocurrencies. I don't think that's going to happen. They are as rational as roulette wheels. If you want to gamble, cryptocurrency may be the great place for you, but if you want to protect your wealth, you're looking for something tangible. All right? something that is intrinsically valuable. And that won't be cryptocurrencies, and it's not going to be fiat dollars, but it could be gold and silver coin. So, what else have we got, Melody?
We have a caller. We have Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Al and Mel. How kind of you to take my call. I want to agree with you that, yeah, it is a Ponzi scheme. Let's be real here. Yep. And, boy, if you don't get out now, you're gonna see the demise of whatever you put. I don't care if you paid 9 cents. You know, you may not lose much, but like all of it, it's a Ponzi scheme. But I have a question that I don't think anybody's ever really, really pronounced or questioned this. Oh, I'm sure people have, but I've got a question for y'all. It's time to sell. I don't want to sell. I don't want to give up any of my precious. If all it is greenbacks.
If that's what you're selling for.
Unless there's a bona fide currency backed by AU or AG, then I'm just going to hold on to my AU and AG. Is that a valid point of view?
I agree with you 100%, but I agree with you to this extent. If you're going to get in, get some cash, and spend the cash quickly, then I don't think you're in too much jeopardy. You know, I mean, if you're going to get the cash and hang on to it for another several years, I think that's ill-advised.
Lifetime,
but here's the other point. Suppose you want a car. Suppose you want a house.
There's two of you that are talking. Only one can talk. So
I'm sorry. I was just talking about your lifetime earnings and savings, your nest egg.
All right. Well, future. I'm saying is, what are you keeping that egg for?
To live.
Okay. When the time comes, you may be able to trade some of your silver, for example, to a local farmer for some vegetables or some beef or chicken or whatever else. You're going to have to make arrangements, and it'll take a little time, and there'll be some debates in terms of value and whatever, but you will have something that someone's willing to accept in turn for maybe some steak.
For those of us that have been doing this for a long time,
ahead,
it was
Mel,
always a theory that you would never get, you wouldn't get wealthy on gold with the price. You know, you get your wealth from your gold because when the things are reset, when the currencies are reset, you'll be able to buy things pennies on the dollar. So yes, you might be able to buy properties, you might be able to build land, you will be able to reinvest your savings into something at low, low prices.
And something
so you're
tangible.
Converting, let me finish. You're converting your gold and silver savings into a different investment when it's at a very low price.
Sure.
If you don't need any additional land, if you don't want anything, then yeah, you can hold on to your gold and silver. What gold and silver does is protect the purchasing power. So yes, you will convert it into other investments.
Melody, you're spot on, but this question rarely gets raised insofar as, gee, what do I sell my precious metal into? Another wicked, worthless currency? No way. Nobody's going to sell.
You don't.
And they're going to hold on to it. They're going to hold on to it, but let me finish. Please let me finish my point of view. In regard to you want your silver to buy little things because people are going to catch on real quick, especially at the grocery store. They're not going to want any more because they're going to have pallets of paper money back there that's worthless. And they're all going to catch on eventually pretty quickly. And when that day happens, then you're going to be king. Or in your case, Mel, you're going to be queen. But the point is, dear, if you're sitting here relying on any kind of currency to back up, in other words, I'm saying it's fruitless to sell your precious AU or AG into a market that's only going to give you back cash, green money. And I already know you guys know this, but I don't think this is. See, when people again, I'll reiterate, when people realize that the merchants, when merchants don't want paper for their goods, you know, and Al, you've hit on this many, many times, and you're both spot on. You think you guys guys or me or anybody else with any with half a brain is gonna give up any metal when they can make their small purchases with AG and they can make their big purchases with AU.
You know, there's another point on this also. When you talk about giving up your gold or your silver for paper dollars, right now the price you can get for your gold and your silver is denominated in paper gold. Right?
Correct.
We don't have a physical gold market. We don't have a physical silver market. You people right now, you can buy gold and silver. You can buy it at paper gold and paper silver prices, which are way lower than whatever a true physical price should be for physical gold and physical silver, which means it is a tremendous buy right now.
Absolutely.
And people that are selling it, it's something you ought to sell, you know, I don't know,
but
sell
you know,
your car
Chris,
before you sell your gold. But
Chris, you are correct. I mean, gold is this, you know, gold is your savings account, silver is your checking account. And no, you are going
to
be holding on to those metals until
you articulated that perfectly.
And you are going to hold on to it until the right moment comes along. But you do have it in case you do need to sell it. Stuff happens. Life happens. And things up that we don't, you know, plan for. And therefore, you are protecting your purchasing power along the way. So, yes, I mean, there's all different types of scenarios. But the key is, yes, you're protecting your purchasing power. When we get to the point in time, you'll be able to convert that gold into something. And you'll change your savings from, and it's a great way to distribute your wealth. It's a very private way to distribute your wealth. If you know someone passes on and you want to give it to your children and so forth, there's ways to do that. So,
but I'm going to refrain from that, or maybe I should go ahead and say it. Al, you really like to talk, and you know, more power to you when you're saying something, but you can't cut Mel off because Mel's got so much wisdom. But Mel, you're such a gentle lady that you let Al go on and on, and Al will go on and on. No slight on Al. I mean, you give somebody a forum, they're going to go wild. A lot of times, they'll go wild with it. All I'm saying is, I just want to hear a little bit more from Mel. Al, you know. But
all right, Melody, go ahead and respond.
You know what? Then Al just doesn't say anything whatsoever.
No, Al has a lot. Al brings a lot to the table. It's just that Mel, sometimes I get a little perturbed when Al talks over you, and it bothers, and I'm not alone here. I know I'm not alone here, but we all love you both very dearly, and we appreciate, but I thought I brought a pretty good question up to the table in regard to the fact that what do you sell your precious into? An unbacked currency? No way! I'd rather hold it, but in small little purchases, have that silver on hand.
Hold on, Chris. We're holding the break.
All right.
Break for a couple commercials. We'll be back in a moment, and we will ask one more intelligent question. How much did Melody pay Chris to pose his last comment? Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I don't know if we still have Chris on the line or not.
Yeah, you do, and I wanted to tell you guys both that I saw a series of videos on the reality of the fake coins. And you know, anybody can do this test. If it has a ring to it when you drop it, as opposed to a thunk, well, you've been thunk.
Well, you don't want to drop your coin.
Well, no, I know that. I'm just talking about
what you do. What you do, Chris, is you put the gold coin on your tip of your finger, and you take another coin, gold coin, and you just tap the rim very lightly, and it will produce this. It will produce the same sound as like you have crystal. When you tap crystal, you hear this. You hear the ring of a crystal. You'll hear the same type of ring with the gold. Now, it doesn't necessarily.
I was just talking about that test in regard to bullion, that it doesn't matter. Right. Of course, we hold good semi-precious, more precious than regular bullion. We know how to hold it on the edge, of course.
You just put the coin to hear the ring. You just put it on the tip of your finger and hit the edge.
Yeah, if it's just a bullion coin, though, I'll just drop it on a hard surface, and I want to hear a ring instead of a thunk. I'm just talking about bullion as opposed to a fine. Yeah, you know the difference.
That's all I wanted to share. But you don't want to drop it on the floor.
Oh, no, I'm not on the floor. I'm talking about on your desk, on your computer table.
You still drop it.
Yeah, I know you do, dear. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Annie,
I didn't mean.
Do you have any other questions, Chris?
No, I really don't have any questions except for the point that I appreciate your forum. Both of you are very knowledgeable, and I love you both. And may you go with God.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you,
Chris. And I'll just continue to listen, and one day I'll buy something. But you know. Anyway, thanks for being there, both of you.
Well, okay. Thanks for calling. All right, Melody, do you have to make a call right now?
I do have to make a call, so you're going to continue on, and I will be back in just a few short minutes.
Okay. Here's an article from Mish Shedlock, and it's about Chicago, and the headline is The Way Chicago Works: Graft, Corruption, Political Connections, Bribes, and Unions. The city that works, Chicago is nicknamed the city that works, or it was nicknamed the city that works, by the April 15, 1971 issue of Newsweek in an article that read in part, "It is a demonstrable fact that Chicago is that most wondrous of exceptions, a major American city that actually works." All right? Those who wish to understand how things work in Chicago need read a single article that ties everything together. Teamster boss indicted on charges of extorting $100,000 from local business. Goes on to explain how a John Coley Sr., president of the Teamsters Joint Council 25, labor organization that represents more than 100,000 workers in Chicago area, he allegedly committed acts of extortion. The Coley family was active in politics for years and well-known for spreading around union cash to various candidates. They contributed $35,000 to Rahm Emanuel's 2011 campaign. They contributed almost $135,000 to his campaign for his second term. And there, the article goes through, it illustrates and alleges acts of corruption, collusion between the Teamsters Union, as this particular Teamsters Union president, and the Chicago government. No charges were filed, at least in some instances. They point out that four out of the last seven Illinois governors went to prison. You wonder how the other three missed it. They probably bribed somebody. And they point out the way Chicago works is the same way Illinois works. Corrupt politicians get in bed with corrupt union leaders and screw the taxpayers and businesses as much as they can. The point is that Illinois is having problems right now that are described by many as economic and financial. But what they really are moral problems. They have people in Illinois, and especially Chicago, have put up with levels of profound corruption for decades. And although things seemed to work, there was a kind of immorality that was eating away at the core of the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. And now it has come home to roost in the form of pension funds, more than anything else that won't be paid. So my point is that when we talk about economics, you know, I've touched on this in other times, but when we talk about economics, we try to present it in terms, or the government tries to present it, and the professors of economics and the Federal Reserve try to present this as strictly a matter of dollars and cents and numbers and add and subtract, multiply and divide, and it's all just mathematical. What I'm trying to illustrate is no, there is a deeper moral foundation. And if you only see numbers when you're talking about economics, you're missing the fundamental point. And when you have a people who become immoral, when they think they're entitled to something they haven't earned, all right, when they are busy going after something for nothing, trying to get a fast buck, get yours, looking out for number one, you get into that, it will take your economy down. Your economy will not survive if you don't have a moral people to keep it in line. And immoral people doesn't merely mean that people like myself stand up and tell everybody else how to be moral. It means I have to be moral myself. It means each of us has to be responsible, personally responsible for our own conduct, and we each have to be responsible to the idea that none of us are entitled to a nickel or a dime that we have not personally earned. If you haven't earned it, you're not entitled to it. If you're receiving something you haven't earned, you're receiving charity. Or, and the alternative, maybe you're just receiving, you know, stolen property. But you're either receiving charity or you're receiving stolen property if you're not earning whatever you receive. And people need to understand it and make it their business to be the kind of person who, I don't want stolen property. All right? And I'm not particularly, you know, there are times in everyone's life when maybe you do need some charity, but it's not something we want to, it's not something most of us want to survive on a long-term basis. I don't really want charity. I don't want to take stolen goods, and that's what we deal with when the government says, you're entitled. Where's the money coming for that entitlement? Where's the money coming from? It's coming from somebody who earned it, and the government is taking it from them and giving it to you. That's stolen property. You're a receiver. You're taking entitlements. You're a receiver of stolen goods. Charity is a different thing. That's where the people who make the money are voluntarily giving it. That's another story. It's not good for you to receive charity, but it is not a bad thing insofar as people voluntarily support you. But when people are forced to support you, that's theft. And insofar as we engage in it, it may take several generations for a city or a state or a nation to finally become so immoral, amoral, that the whole system just collapses. But it'll happen. You got, if you want to strengthen the economy, my observations, first thing you need to do is strengthen your moral foundation. What else do we have here? Here's one. We concern ourselves about the government behaving in a way that's irrational. You know, our government, and sometimes even violent. I mean, there have been some of the demonstrations, people protesting and demanding that Trump be impeached or perhaps even beheaded. There's times when our politicians or people that are politically active, they seem to be getting out of hand. Here's an article from Yahoo News. The headline is, Taiwanese lawmaker launched water balloons, brandished chairs, and floor brawl. Brawl broke out Friday on the floor of the Taiwanese parliament as lawmakers exchanged blows over an infrastructure project for the second day in a row. Amid negotiations over a budget review for the infrastructure project, rival politicians pushed one another onto the ground, threw water balloons, and hoisted padded office chairs over their heads. And you folks thought the only crazy politicians in this world were American. Turns out the Taiwanese, I've never heard of American politicians throwing water balloons. I don't know of any of them that have lifted padded chairs over their heads. They may have done it, but I haven't heard about that. So our politicians are not the most undisciplined in the world. That's not give them much credit, but they're not the worst that are around. I think I hear you, Melody. Are you back?
Yes, I am back. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Here's another. Is America on the verge of another debt ceiling crisis? You see, this is from the National Interest. And it says the Congressional Budget Office now projects that sometime this October, July, August, September, October, a little over 3 months. 3 months, thereabouts. Sometime this October, the U.S. Treasury may be unable to continue borrowing on the credit of the American taxpayer. In short, the debt ceiling is back, and so is the largest, most predictable crisis in U.S. history. Goes on and says the debt ceiling is both a signaling device, pointing forward a much greater challenge, and an action-oriented fiscal tool to bring Washington's unsustainable spending and borrowing under control. Now, I disagree with that. I could be mistaken, but as I've told you before, I think in our debt-based monetary system and our debt-based economy, I don't think the government produces all this excess, these deficits and excess debt. I don't think it's an accident. I think they may be doing it intentionally. I think it may be true. I can't prove it. Don't know. Could be wrong. But I think they have to continue to produce more debt in order to allow the debt-based monetary system and debt-based economy to continue to function. I think we have to produce more debt. I don't think it's an accident. I think it's a necessity. They went on and they say, so I disagree when they say that the debt ceiling is an action-oriented fiscal tool to bring Washington's unsustainable spending and borrowing under control. I don't think so. I think the debt ceiling has been a device to create the illusion that government has some sort of a tendency to responsibility, and they express that responsible tendency by saying, well, we're not going to borrow, I promise, we're not going to borrow over $25 trillion. We promise, Scout's honor. And of course they will, right? They'll go to $25 trillion if they can, and $30 trillion and $50 trillion. They'll keep on raising the debt as long as the world gets away with it, lets them get away with it. But how do we let them get away with it? We lend them money. We buy their bonds. We support the government that way, and in doing so, we help to create debt for the government. And I think the debt instruments, I know that in some instances those debt instruments have more value than the debt itself. And I think the government is structured in a way, we talked about this a little in the past. I know a woman in Florida who researched her own mortgage and found out that her bank sold her mortgage paperwork. Within the same afternoon, she'd signed the mortgage. Bought a house for $150,000, $200,000. She found out that the mortgage was sold off to another bank the same afternoon she'd signed the mortgage. She didn't find out until years after. After the fact, she continued to pay her mortgage money to the bank. The bank had sold the mortgage, and she believes, and I believe she's right, that the reason is under fractional reserve banking. A second bank could buy from the first bank, put that mortgage in the vault, and use it under fractional reserve banking to lend sums that were several times greater than the face value of the mortgage itself. The net result is, in the end, the paperwork, the mortgage document, was really worth more. The way the system is structured, it's worth more than the house itself. And you gave them a piece of paper with your signature on it that was worth more than your house. And the banks between them would, in theory, make more money off that mortgage than the price of your home. And not just the interest rate, not just fees, but multiple times. You paid $250,000 for your house, the bank might make tens of million dollars off the mortgage note. That was the conclusion. I'm inclined to think it may be correct. All of which says, look, we're headed for a debt ceiling crisis. Are we really? Is the crisis that the debt is too great? Or is the crisis that the government won't be able to go deeper into debt? Are we coming to the end of the debt, the ability to borrow money? If we are, then we may be in big trouble. I'm Alfred Addis. This is America. This is Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow, and then we hope you'll tune in. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.